In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we see the reality. God ever so slightly pulls back the veil separating between heaven and earth, and we see our brothers and sisters now glorified. We hear them. We're not talking about their lives on this earth, their hobbies, their interests. They're not focused on one another. Neither are they running around farming the land of heaven or being blacksmiths or any other earthly occupation. Their focus is the Lamb. He is their joy. He is their delight. They surround the throne of God and the Lamb, even as those mighty angelic beings surround him. And they fall down on their faces before him, even as those angels fall down before him. Christ alone is the focus of their life in heaven, because he alone has redeemed man with his own precious blood. He alone has made them a people fit for him. He alone has rescued them from the clutches of the devil and prepared a new heavens and a new earth for them. So heaven is focused on him. They are one with us, and yet they are separated from us. We know a small number by name. We call them our fathers or mothers, our brothers or sisters, perhaps even our children, our friends with whom we had once sat in the same pews with. But the vast majority, we have no idea what their names were or anything about them. Yet their lives are really no different than ours. We all have our crosses to bear, our trials to endure, temptations to overcome, and we all have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. They were better than us, and yet they were also worse than us. For they would readily admit that they were chief of sinners. They would readily admit that they were saved only by the blood of Christ and by his death alone. That death alone could wash away their sins. And so today we get a little peek behind the curtain, a little peek into heaven at just what the blood of Christ has earned for us. We get a little peek at those who have fought the good fight, at those who have finished their race, and now are crowned with glory and honor. We miss them, but we do not want them to come back here. We want to go to them. Today we see that heaven is not some ethereal place up in the clouds, but we see that heaven is a physical and tangible place. In heaven there is no hunger, there is no thirst, the sun does not scorch, nor does it strike men. These things do not affect the mind or the soul, but the sun afflicts the skin, it burns it, and hunger afflicts the stomach, and thirst afflicts the throat. These physical, tangible things are removed. They also suffered imprisonments, torture, pain, beatings, and poverty. Many of them wandered on this earth as if they had no home. And we might as well add to that the cancer that many have endured, the sicknesses, arthritis, pain and suffering, the muscle fatigue, the frail bones, the weak joints, the disappointments, the frustrations, the guilt, the regrets, the uncertainties of life. Heaven is free from all of those things, not because the body ceases to exist, but because the curse has been removed from the body. If the body ceased to exist, if Christ only redeemed our souls, then he is a weak savior who cannot overcome death and the grave. But he is a mighty Lord and a great king who has conquered not only sin and the devil, but has conquered even death in the grave itself. The saints too must live with their bodies in the resurrection. So in heaven the body is purified even as Christ is purified. Holy as Christ is holy, glorious as he is glorious. The body matters to God. It is his beautiful creation, and we will live with these bodies forever even as the saints will. So today we see the saints' feet walking on golden streets. We hear we see the saints' eyes looking at the Lamb who was slain for them and looking at their fellow saints. We hear the saints' voices coming from their physical mouths, singing praises to the Lamb and joining that great company of angelic hosts. And we even see their nostrils smelling the sweet smell of heaven. For yes, there is a smell in heaven. It smells like the risen Lord, who is wrapped in 75 pounds of myrrh and incense. He who was raised from death is their focus and the center of heaven. So heaven smells like the risen Lord. In other words, heaven smells like incense. They are raised up higher than what Adam fell. Adam needed food, even in his perfect state. The saints do not. Adam needed sleep and rest, even in his perfect state. The saints do not. Adam needed to work to take care of the earth and to provide food for himself, but the saints do not. They enjoy the glory of the Lamb every moment without cessation. They do not become God. They do not take on divine attributes, but they are made like God. They are made glorious even as the body of Christ is glorious. So today we see the reality ever so dimly as our Lord pulls back the curtain and allows us to see what the blood of Christ has won for us. We are one with them, for we too have been washed in the blood of Christ. These saints do not dwell in heaven because they were better at living on this earth than we. Noah got drunk and lay naked in his tent. Sarah laughed at the promise that a Savior would come. Moses struck the rock twice and brought the water of affliction. David committed adultery and murder. Peter denied our Lord. Paul persecuted the church. And you know your loved ones who are now departed, how imperfect they were. No one is in heaven because they were good or kind or loving, but because Christ loved them and saved them with his precious blood. They believed God's promise, and it was counted to them as righteousness. Sainthood does not come from being a good person on this earth. Sainthood does not come from other people liking you. Sainthood is imputed. It is given. It is declared upon you by the Father because of the death of Christ. Or to say it as we normally do, no one is going to heaven because they're a nice person, but only because of Christ and his work. He is their holiness and he is ours. He is their garment and he is ours. He is their sainthood and he is ours as well. That doesn't excuse our sin, but it does mean that our sin is paid for by Christ. The only difference between us on earth and the saints in heaven is what our senses can perceive. They can see and feel and smell and touch their holiness. We cannot. We live by faith. Even as St. John writes, everyone who thus hopes in Christ purifies himself as Christ is pure. Our hope is anchored in Christ who died for us. Our hope is anchored in him who lived for us, not in how we live or what we have done. And St. John says that the one who has such hope, the one who has this faith, purifies himself. That is, he is already pure right here and right now, though his senses do not see it. So today we see the reality of the saints in heaven, and today we see the reality of us on earth. We are pure through Christ. We are what those in heaven are, though we still struggle on this earth. We too have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We too have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We too have been cleansed of all sins. We too will reign with Christ. We too are reigning with Christ, for we are kings and priests with him. But we don't perceive it yet. We perceive pain and war and bloodshed. We perceive affliction, cancer, frustration and agony, weakness, guilt, and regret. So we live by faith. We live in hope, even as the saints lived in hope. And when we stumble, let us imitate the saints triumphant who believe that Jesus forgives all sin. And when we endure hardship, whatever trial may come, let us imitate the saints who trusted that God is good through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when our life begins to ebb away and we begin to breathe our last, let us imitate those saints, some of whom we have stood by their bed as our Lord called them home. Let us imitate their faith and confess that Jesus is our Lord and God and Savior in Him alone. Soon we will be with them. Even if we live another 80 years, soon we will be with Him. We are part of them, and they are part of us. They need us, and we need them. They do not save us, and we do not save them, but we are one. We are one holy Christian and apostolic church, one in glory, one in our suffering. For that matter, we also need one another who sits here. It is our duty to be here with one another. We are not simply a group of individuals who all attend the same congregation because we like this, that, or the other thing. Our bond is not built upon a pastor. Our bond is not built upon ethnicities, hobbies, likes, or dislikes. Our bond is built on the blood of Christ. We are part of something bigger, something better, something that spans ethnicities and culture, something that spans countries and even continents, something that spans even death and the grave. We are part of the body of Christ, saints through faith and heirs of heavenly glory. We are what those in heaven are, and someday we will see it, and we will stand with them, and our own eyes will not only see the Lamb, but we will see our brothers and sisters who are waiting for us. Until then, we join them from this side of the altar, the veil still closed. We join them not as saints triumphant, but as saints militant. Still fighting against temptation, still enduring trials and hardships, still suffering as God permits, still singing, still rejoicing, still living in hope and faith, still repentant, still eating and drinking. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.